Ces hommes, ces femmes, ces enfants ont été victimes d'un honteux commerce.
These men, these women, these children, who were victims of a shameful commerce, of whom some were baptized people, but who had no true life for their faith. How can we forget the enormous suffering, the contempt for the most elementary human rights inflicted on the deported populations of the African continent? How can we forget the lives annihilated by slavery?
Comment oublier les vies humaines anéanties par l'esclavage?
Pope John Paul II visited Gorée, an island off the coast of Senegal, in February 1992. Shocked by all that he saw and heard of Gorée's historical role in the transportation of slaves across the oceans, he spoke of the black sorrow of the island. He prayed for an end to all violence and injustice between all peoples.
Pour achever cette rencontre, au terme de notre prière universelle,
in terms of our universal prayer, we invoke Mary, Mother of Mercy, in our profound regret for past sins, in particular for those that we recall in this place. We ask her to be our advocate close to her son. We beg her that violence and injustice between men will cease, that no longer will burial pits of hatred and vengeance be dug, but rather that respect, peace and friendship will make progress between all peoples.
Mais que progresse le respect, la concorde, l'amitié entre tous les peuples.
There are many tragic memories of slavery. The Merseyside Maritime Museum has a splendid exhibition showing Liverpool's involvement in the transatlantic slave trade. One of the exhibits is a road sign for Gorée Piazzas, a place off the Dock Road, near the pierhead. I and many other Liverpudlians remember seeing large metal rings in the walls of the piazzas, rings reputedly used to fasten the slaves when they landed in Liverpool. Yet, Gorée piazzas were only built 11 years after the abolition of slavery in Britain. As Tony Tibbles, keeper of the museum, comments, slaves never actually arrived in Liverpool.
Well, they never actually came to Liverpool. Very few of them did, because what happened was that the goods were taken out to Africa. The ships then went from Africa direct to across the Atlantic, to the Caribbean or to Brazil. And they only came back to Liverpool when they were empty, or rather when they were bringing goods back, so that they were only carried on that middle passage.
It would seem that the metal rings, which, according to local folklore, were used to fasten slaves, were probably utilised for tying horses. Yet there was an association with Gorée and slavery, as Tony Tibbles continues.
Well, one of the streets in Liverpool was named Gorée, and there were also some warehouses that were built just behind the pierhead, which were called the Gorée warehouses, and the area behind them is called the Gorée Piazza. Now, that's clearly named after the island off Dakar, and I still don't really know why it was called that, but clearly it is named after Gorée. But it's strange, because Dakar, Senegal, Gorée were part of the sort of French area of influence, and very few Liverpool ships actually went to Gorée to trade. There's only, you know, a handful of ships, but there's also a ship called the Gorée Packet. So there clearly was a link between Liverpool and Gorée in the mid-18th century. But the exact nature of it, we don't know. But, I mean, it's one of the things that you can see around the city that remind you of the association with the slave trade. And, you know, not everybody realises that. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to make those links for people.
And those links are very important. Without looking back in order to see what happened in the past, it is very difficult to create a positive future. The Merseyside Maritime Museum has a very impressive display in which great efforts are made to educate visitors about the slave trade.
Well, this exhibition, this gallery has now been open for over 10 years, and in the way of, you know, museum displays, things that we did 10 years ago are now out of date to a certain extent. And I mean, it's actually still looking very good, but things don't last forever.
Time moves on. 2007 marks the 200th anniversary of the abolition of the slave trade in Britain. How can a museum help with slavery awareness today?
The gallery deals very well with the historic story of transatlantic slavery. What we weren't able to do because of lack of space was explore the consequences of slavery, the legacy of it. And a lot of people, particularly in the local black community, but other people as well, have been saying, we think that you ought to be doing more in terms of telling that story, making links with today. And that's particularly important for educational reasons. We do quite a lot of work with schools, for instance, in terms of the national curriculum, in terms of citizenship. And this is one of the places that they come to and see aspects of citizenship which link through to the black community, to issues of racism and discrimination.
What are the future? Tony Tibbles looks ahead to the bicentenary.
What we're planning is a new, in fact, international slavery museum, which is going to be about 2.5 times the size of the present gallery. It's going to occupy the whole of one floor of this building. And that's going to open on International Slavery Day, which is 23rd of August. And what we will be doing is redisplaying the gallery, but also widening the sorts of areas that we're dealing with in terms of looking very much at those legacies of the slave trade. And we're looking at issues of racism and discrimination, of global inequality that have not all global inequality obviously relates back to the slave trade, but we want to make people aware of the links that there are. But we also want to look at elements of cultural transformation, how that diaspora of people from Africa has had such an influence on the culture and societies in both the Americas and in Europe.
Slavery has been a part of many civilizations throughout history. It continues today through human trafficking across the world. Today there might not be slave ships as in past centuries, but that is only because of the progress of technology that has made available other forms of transport, other forms of enslavement. Pope Benedict pointed out to the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See on January the 9th, 2006, that truth can only be attained in freedom.
L'engagement pour la vérité donne fondement et vigueur au droit à la liberté. La grandeur singulière de l'être humain a sa racine ultime en ceci, l'homme peut connaître la vérité.
Truth can only be attained in freedom. This is the case with all truth, as is clear from the history of science, but it is eminently the case with those truths in which man himself, man is such, is at stake. The truths of the spirit, the truths about good and evil, about the great goals and horizons of life, about our relationship with God. These truths cannot be attained without profound consequences for the way we live our lives. And once freely appropriated, they demand in return an ample sphere of freedom if they are to be lived out in a way befitting every dimension of human life. In the development of international law today, it is becoming increasingly clear that no government can feel free to neglect its duty to ensure suitable conditions of freedom for its own citizens without thereby damaging its credibility to speak out on international problems. And rightly so. For in safeguarding the rights belonging to the person as such, rights which are internationally guaranteed, one must naturally give primary importance to ensuring the rights of freedom within individual states, in public and private life, in economic and political relations, and in the cultural and religious spheres.
qu'aucun gouvernement ne peut se dispenser du devoir de garantir à ses citoyens des conditions de liberté appropriées sans compromettre, même pour cela, sa crédibilité comme interlocuteur dans les questions internationales.
We are all in search of freedom and truth. Governments have a duty to facilitate that search.